Well, I greet you today. This is Steve Clark, and this is the seventh day in our seven-day series on Christian stewardship. And this week I've presented unto you a teaching or a doctrine in the New Testament concerning Christian stewardship. I tried to show you that our whole lives and everything that we own or have belongs to God, even our wives and children. Everything that we can put the word my in front of is one of the days I shared that. It all belongs to God. My wife, my business, my possessions, my life, my house, it all belongs to God. We are just stewards of what God has given to us. We are just stewards of what belongs to Him. And like I said, this is the last day. I've talked about many different things, tried to convince you that we're not owners here as Christians anyway. We're not owners, but we're stewards. We're not going to take anything with us when we die. But you're going to have to make the applications for yourself as to what needs to change in your life. I'm not going to tell you what you need to sell or how to use your time or what should change. It doesn't really matter what I say anyway, but what is God saying to you? Are you living like a steward or like an owner? And I hope I had at least stirred your interest or enlightened you a bit so that when you read the New Testament, you will see the principles of Christian stewardship for yourself. Well, a lot of times people use an excuse that they're too busy to read the Bible, to pray, too busy to talk to a lost soul about Christ and His gospel. Making money is used as an excuse not to serve the Lord. And we're just too busy to read the Bible. I had an Amish man one time tell me that this was just a few months ago, but he says, we read our Bibles on Sunday. That's the day to read the Bible. Well, I want to challenge us that the Bible wasn't just given to us to read on Sunday and then we read everything else. No, it's good to, in his mind, it's good to read the Lancaster Farming and this magazine and that publication and this thing or that thing. But as far as the Bible, that's for Sunday. And, yeah, I hope, in fact, I trust that because you're listening to this message and you're seeking after the Lord, you're wanting to listen to these daily inspirations, that I trust that you don't have that mindset, but people out there do, that the Bible's just for Sunday. But I believe the Bible's for every day, and that we're to be living for Christ every day, and that we should be ready to open our mouths for the Lord when He gives us opportunity. Well, I'd like to read a few scriptures here as we conclude this teaching on Christian stewardship. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16, says, Then said He, this is Jesus, unto a certain man, okay, let me turn to that in my Bible. I've written out here on my notes, but I'd like to turn to it. Luke 14, verse 16. Okay, so this is Jesus speaking. It says, Then said He unto him, A certain man made a great supper and invited many, or bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited or bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. and I pray thee, have me excused. So let me just interrupt here in our story. But these are business transactions. These are things he bought a piece of ground, probably to farm on, to build a barn on, or whatever. He bought this 5 yoke of oxen to farm with, to plow the ground. And so these are business excuses. These are, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go to this great supper. So please have me excused. That was what was happening here. That was the story that Jesus is telling. And then another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So now this is, you know, the wife is, because he married this wife, he can't come. Now, I don't know why he couldn't come with his wife, but this was an excuse that he gave. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden or invited shall taste of my supper. And he's talking about those who make excuse, those who've made excuses for coming to the supper. We're not going to be able to come to that supper. That's a sobering passage there, because how often do we make excuse that, oh, just too busy, can't do, I can't talk to that person, I can't do this, can't do that, I'm just too busy. God help us and forgive us and change us. And not just you, but myself too. I mean, I deal with these things, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is very pleased with excuses that we make. So God, give us wisdom and help. And notice here that the things that they had to do were good things. They were right things. Working, taking care of your wife. And they weren't going after drunkenness or fornication or adultery or carousing or anything like that. They were doing good things, right things. So I think that's a good thing to put in this equation also. It's not that it's just sinful things, but it was making excuses instead of being, as they were invited to come, they were too busy. And God has invited all of us to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and this could be a picture of that, I don't know, but we're too busy to serve him, and he's going to find someone else. The highways and byways, the poor. Too busy with business. Too busy with good things. Also in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, it says, but they that will be rich, or they that want to be rich, is what that could be interpreted, fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, money is, the love of money is the root of all evil, and we all need money to survive, to live, but I think it can, in fact, I know it can get way out of perspective, even for professing Christians, that all we want to do is make money and buy the second farm or do this or do that with it. And then also in that same chapter, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And I'd like to end with that. I'll just read it again. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's the love of money. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Well, I do thank you for calling and listening this week. Lord willing, there'll be another brother sharing starting tomorrow. And so God bless you, and you can leave a message. We have a voicemail that you can leave a message in our voicemail. That would be pressing 99, I believe, would get you into it, or 099. You can get into the voicemail and leave a message there. Just follow the prompts. So thanks for calling. God bless you.